Welcome to American Indian and Alaskan Native Living, a program designed to educate and inspire listeners throughout Indian country. American Indian and Alaskan Native Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he is here today to help you learn more about your health. Here is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Today we've got a great show lined up for you with one of my favorite guests. It's Dr. Greg Steinke. He's the medical director of LifeMed Clinic in the Chattanooga, Tennessee area. Greg, it's great to have you with us today.
Thank you very much for having me, David. I'm really excited to talk with you.
Greg, you and I have done a number of shows together. Of course, many people know you as one of my co-authors for the book, 30 Days to Natural Blood Pressure Control. There's still a lot of interest in that book. Actually, I was just looking the other day and still in the top 10 best-selling blood pressure titles on Amazon. I mean, that varies from hour to hour, but so still getting a lot of attention. And I know you've gotten a lot of attention, not just speaking about blood pressure and natural remedies, but more natural lifestyle approaches to disease. Update us a bit, because it's been a while since you've been on the show. Tell us, for those who don't know you, about your background and what you're doing currently.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. It's been a real journey over the last few years. Some of the most exciting medicine that I've practiced in my lifetime. You know, just to give you a little background, David, when I was in college, I was sort of one of these aimless college students. Perhaps you've met a few of those. And I ran into this program that was on heart health, and I started volunteering in it. And there was a series of things that had occurred that had to do with my dad's health and so on that got me pretty interested in health. And so when I joined that class, I realized how much power there was in lifestyle change, how much power there was in diet, in exercise, stress control, sleep, et cetera, in improving a lot of the chronic diseases that we deal with in America. And it got me really, really excited. And it helped me really focus in on what I felt my calling was in life. And ended up through medical school, got a degree in nutrition, and did a residency in family medicine and preventive medicine, and really focused on lifestyle medicine. This is an up-and-coming medical specialty among physicians. American College of Lifestyle Medicine now has thousands and thousands of members. It's been very, very popular. A lot of physicians are very interested in this. And I was one of the early members to join that organization and very much have had that as a central part of my practice for a long time. I started out in Oregon, ended up with some family crisis that occurred out here in Tennessee with my wife's father. And we ended up here in 2018. And, you know, it's awesome when your wife tells you, you know, we went through a really difficult experience with him. And it's awesome when your wife tells you, hey, I'm so appreciative that you came out to the South and really helped me with my dad. You know, honey, you can do whatever you want. You can, if you want to start something, you want to go anywhere, I'll go wherever you want. How many husbands get that from their wife? And so anyways, I started dreaming. I started thinking and praying and dreaming about what I could start. You know, I'd been in family medicine for a long time. I'd worked in the hospitals a lot. And I saw a lot of the weaknesses in our healthcare system. You know, we really, as healthcare providers, struggle to form relationships with our patients that are very well anymore. We used to do a better job at that. You know, now it's a real struggle. Patients are struggling for access. They really struggle to get access to the clinician and to the healthcare staff many times. Other issues are that the insurance, you know, health insurance story is changing in America. You know, we now have over 50% of our of people have high deductible health care insurance. So, you know, the health care insurance is very much becoming more and more sort of almost like catastrophic. You know, people have to pay for routine, you know, medical care. And so seeing those things, having this love for lifestyle medicine and a desire to really have good relationships with my patients, I just knew that we had to figure out a different model, a better model. And that's what LifeMed Clinic's all about.
Well, that's exciting. So we're excited to hear from someone who's really a pioneer. And I know you are because I've been hearing about people traveling to come see the LifeMed Clinic. You're doing a different model of practice. Now, we've got many listeners who have got great access to care. They may be in a tribal health system. It may be actually run by their tribe, and they're very happy with what they have. Maybe they're on a reservation. Maybe they're in close proximity to a tribal health center, and they may be listening to this dialogue, and they can't relate. But we have so many Native Americans and non-Native listeners who are struggling with some of these very things that you're attempting to tackle there in the LifeMed Clinic. We have many Native Americans who are not members of federally recognized tribes, and as a result, they're basically in the common health care marketplace like everyone else, so they don't have health services through a tribal enrollment. So we want to hear what you're doing, and I think the model that you're looking at, even though the model may not translate to, say, a tribal health system, some of your approaches, I think, definitely will resonate with people throughout Indian country and beyond. So first, tell us a little bit. Let me just make it practical, Greg. So let's say I decide I'm going to move to Chattanooga, Tennessee. I've heard wonderful things about that area. I do have some firsthand knowledge of that part of the country. I've got two of our children that have thought that was such a great place to live, that they're actually down not that far from where you are. I know you're aware of that. And let's say my wife and I said, hey, we're going to move down there as well. And we're looking to find a new healthcare provider. Now, I've already got an in, I feel like, with you, but hopefully it, you know, it goes both ways. Anyway, so we want to check out your practice. And we call up and we get someone on the phone. We say, we heard this is a different kind of practice. I mean, what's different about it? What's the elevator pitch or the short summary of what you guys are doing differently there?
David, I think that's a great idea for you and your wife to come on down here. That would be... Yeah, you know, our core is spending time with patients. And so the model really has to do with something called direct primary care. And that is a phrase, a catchphrase that people maybe are not familiar with. But that just means that instead of paying per visit, so you show up at the doctor and then you pay when you show up, that's the usual model. You don't pay per visit. In fact, you could have numerous visits or very few visits and you pay the same monthly fee. And what that has allowed for us to do is to, rather than structuring our whole life around how many visits we have and the tendency with, decreasing reimbursement rates from the health insurance companies, et cetera, is for the doctor to go faster and faster and faster and faster to try to keep up with expenses. You know, you got a whole clinic to pay for, you got staff, et cetera. Instead of that, we have a situation where we can focus on the people who have the most need. We can take time. You know, our typical appointment times are 45 minutes to an hour for a return patient. And so our one-on-one visits are much more thorough. We get to know our patients much better. We understand their life much better. And they get to know us. And that rapport and that connection, I think, is absolutely vital to be able to share with the patient the healing they need, to help them through the struggles and the journey of health. I mean, we know health is probably one of the top things that people are concerned about at this time in our American history. And, we know, internet searches, health is a top search over and over and over. And so what we wanted to do was to be able to help people, especially with lifestyle change, especially with improving your diet and your exercise. That takes time. It takes education. It takes helping you to motivate you. It takes understanding where you're at. Where are you really? What do these diseases mean? What do I really have going on? These are all educational things that we're supposed to be doing. I mean, the name doctor, actually, if you look it up from the original meaning, has to do with teacher. It really means a very much a teacher kind of meaning. So, we're all about that. We want to have longer visits. We have classes that we're doing. And if you look at our mission, we have a real theme on sharing love, sharing the Creator's love. We want to restore the whole person. We want to focus on what we call lifestyle medical ministry, a loving approach, a caring approach. And I think this is also a wonderful approach to minimize costs. There's a great story out of Omaha, Nebraska, David. This large plumbing company was looking to reduce costs. Companies all over the place want to control the healthcare dollars. They want to offer health insurance as a perk, but it ends up being one of their largest expenses. And so they started exploring a direct primary care clinic there in Nebraska. And through the course of that exploration, about half of their patients signed up with direct primary care. Half of them stayed with the old model. And for a couple of years, they monitored the expenses. And what they found was that the patients in the direct primary care model spent less money. They had less urgent care visits. less ER visits, less specialist use, because their access was better. They were able to establish better rapport with their doctor. And one of the awesome things that you are released from when you are not connected to getting paid based on the visit is you can use the modern technology that we have now. I mean, doctors are starting to get into it a little bit, but a lot of doctors don't want to text. You know, patients love texting. And so if they have a request or they have a question or whatever, they just send it to us. And guess what we do? We just text them back, you know, or email, or, you know, video chat starting to become more and more common. But rather than worrying about, am I going to get paid for this? A lot of doctors don't want to do that because, you know, they'd rather see the patient in person just to do a very routine matter that could have easily been done with one communication with our modern technology. We can use all that and save patients lots of time. They don't have to take a half a day off of work just to ask one question of the doctor that may be worrying them. So there's a lot of perks for what people want. They want a relationship with the doctor. They want that convenience. And it's very affordable. I mean, our monthly fees are less than $100 a month. In fact, part of our mission is we have a special emphasis on the underinsured, on the underserved and low-income folks. And so we have almost 40% of our clinic on either sliding scale or free.
Oh, wow. So what I hear you saying is the government may not necessarily reimburse for all the things you're doing. In other words, you may not even be billing insurance. Is that right?
We're not billing insurance at all, David. We don't do that at all.
Okay. So for someone who had no money at all and you have this sliding scale and they say, you know, I can't afford anything. There's some people that are actually coming and you're, I mean, I know you probably don't want to advertise this too broadly.
No, we're happy to, you know, I mean, this is what love does, right? Acts of love are acts of healing. I'm thoroughly convinced by that. And when you are engaging in a loving process, people get healed. And so when they know that you're stepping into their life and you're not concerned about just emptying their wallet, you're concerned about actually caring for them and helping them, that produces a lot more healing than other things. So yeah, absolutely. If someone has a low income, we accommodate that. And we've been blessed. You know, we went through a fundraising effort last fall. And man, people were just more than happy to help us out. And we had a real significant boost in our patient assistance fund. And it's just been a really huge and very fun experience to have this setting in a way where I, as the physician, my medical staff, we have active involvement in helping people when they're worried about money, when they're worried, when they're stressing about that. That's one of the biggest stresses. I mean, if you ask this question, what's the number one cause of bankruptcy in America? Well, guess what? It's healthcare. So, whoa. You know, it's a major, major piece of what we're struggling with here. And I think this model is something worth looking at from a clinician standpoint. If you want to do more to care for your patients, to love your patients, to make a difference in their life, this model is awesome for that. And patients absolutely love it. They love the responsiveness that we're able to have. They love how much we're able to do via technology, et cetera, and that the visits are long and they get plenty of time.
Well, before we have to step away just briefly, Greg, there's folks that have engaged with this conversation. They're excited. Maybe they're in Atlanta or Nashville, Knoxville. I mean, anywhere within a few hours drive of you, and they're saying, hey, this may be worth it to see Greg and his team at the LifeMed clinics. Dr. Steinke, how does someone get a hold of your team?
Just give us a call, you know, 423-250-5094 would be the easiest way. Also, you can reach us online at lifemedclinic.org, and you're welcome to take a look at our website and check us out that way.
Now, that went by really quickly for me. So I got the lifemedclinic.org, and that's simply LifeMed, clinic, CLINIC, right?
That's right.
.org. And then what about that phone number? I got the area code 423, correct?
423-250-5094. 423-250-5094.
Okay, sounds like you've said that more than once. Okay, we'll give that information one more time, or at least a few more times probably throughout the course of the show. We do have to step away briefly. I'm Dr. David DeRose, my guest Dr. Greg Steinke. We're going to talk about practical things that Greg's doing, things that can make a difference in your life, whether you go to the LifeMed clinic or not. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please reach out to us on the web at AIANL.org. That stands for American Indian Alaska Native Living. Again, AIANL.org. Or you can call us at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
We are strong, we are resilient, and we will get through this together. But these are stressful times, and it's important to also practice good self-care. It's normal to feel overwhelmed, anxious, or afraid, but there is hope. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, stay in touch with your community, and know that you are not alone. Learn more at wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
When Jim died, I wondered if I would be able to keep the farm. Then I heard about the USDA's loan program for socially disadvantaged farmers and ranchers. It's for women and minorities who may be having trouble getting credit. Once I was approved, the USDA's Farm Service Agency helped me get the credit I needed. Now I don't have to sell, and I can pass the farm down to my kids the way Jim's dad passed it down to him. I know he'd like that.
Contact your local USDA service center or visit www.fsa.usda.gov.
Social Security is with you through life's journey from birth to retirement. As your life changes year to year, so do your needs. For over 80 years, Social Security has helped to meet your needs and is committed to improving access to the services that make a difference in your life. Today, you can verify your earnings, estimate your future benefits, apply for retirement, manage your benefits, and even change your address, all from the comfort of your home. Social Security's online services help put you in control with secure access to your information anytime, anywhere, allowing you to spend more time with family, friends, or simply just enjoying the day. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. See what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. My guest, Dr. Greg Steinke. Greg is a board-certified specialist in both family practice and preventive medicine. He's a medical doctor who also has a master's in public health with an emphasis in nutrition. He is the medical director of something called the Life Med Clinic. If you're joining us for the first time, you haven't caught the top of the hour with us, Dr. Steinke has started this innovative practice in the area of Chattanooga, Tennessee. And Greg, as we're speaking about that, if someone's actually looking online, I don't think your address actually is Chattanooga. Can you help us with the actual address for the Life Med Clinic?
Yeah, our address is in Chattanooga. Our current address is 7315 Lee Highway. And we are right there in Chattanooga. We're right off the freeway. And our suite number is 167. So 7315 Lee Highway. Suite 167 in Chattanooga, Tennessee, right off of 75, if you know the area.
Okay, well, very good. So I-75, a lot of you are in some proximity there. You can just jump on, even if you're in Florida or up in the Northeast, and make your way down to Chattanooga. I know that might be a bit of a commute.
And we have had people commuting. You know, we certainly have to be careful with our rules regarding our medical license, but we have had people traveling from some distance to check us out, and we were quite humbled by that.
Okay. So, yeah, and maybe we should mention that, because the way medical licensure works in most places is you can treat people who reside in the state where you are licensed, correct? So anyone can come to your clinic and be treated, but if someone comes from North Carolina, let's say they're Cherokee Nation over there, and they say, hey, I want to check out Dr. Steinke, you could render any care you want in the clinic, but if they're in North Carolina texting you, there's some issues, right, legally with that? Am I understanding that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, During COVID, it really opened up in a lot of states, but a bunch of states have now sort of closed that again. I have a telehealth license in Florida and one in Tennessee, and that's my current status. I know we're working on getting one in Georgia as well, just because we're so close to Georgia, but don't currently have that established yet. So yeah, the tide is changing there a bit, but some of the states have closed that up again. And so depends on the state you're in. Some states are very strict. Some are a lot more liberal.
Okay. Let's move on then to talk a bit about what you're doing that's so different. We heard the lifestyle medicine vision, but one of the things I know you've had some interest in is the immune system and autoimmune diseases. I know this often gets a lot of attention, whether someone's dealing with what we would think of as a conventional autoimmune disease, like a rheumatoid arthritis or a lupus, or whether they have something that maybe a layperson may not think of how much the immune system is involved with, something like asthma or some respiratory disorders. Can you tell us a little bit why you, as a family practice specialist, have been so interested in that field?
I mean, one thing that I'm really noticing lately, and it seems to be happening more and more, is autoimmune diseases rising. I mean, we're seeing numerous autoimmune diseases becoming more common. I mean, now 30% of patients have a positive ANA. I know people don't know what that is probably, but it's a screening test for autoimmune disease. And I know we consider a low level positive, you know, not that big a deal, but I think it's just a sign that autoimmune disease is rising. We know from other data that's true. And here's a fact that will blow you away, David. 80% of autoimmune disease is initiated with an uncommon stress event. That's what they call it in the medical literature, an uncommon stress event. 80%. And so when people go through inordinate stress, perhaps COVID would be a good example, or other kinds of personal stressors, and perhaps their lifestyle is not as good as it used to be. I've been doing a lot of research into gut microbiome. We know there's a very intimate interaction there with the immune system. And so if you're eating in a diet that's very processed, that's not very healthy, you're not eating very much fiber, and then you are also having a huge stress event, depending on your genetics, you could end up with an autoimmune disease. And that is a big, big problem now, because it's becoming more common. And I think it's just a sign that people are more stressed than they used to be, and our diets are worse.
So, I mean, you definitely got our ear. People are relating higher stress levels. They might be relating to maybe what they know. I mean, many of my patients will tell me they're not doing as well as they know when it comes to their diet. And so a lot of my listeners are relating to what you're talking about. And let's say they have an autoimmune disease. Maybe they were diagnosed with inflammatory bowel disease, with Crohn's or ulcerative colitis. Maybe it's a rheumatoid arthritis or a scleroderma, or we could go through a whole list. Maybe it's an autoimmune thyroid condition, quite common. Is there any hope? I mean, they already have the condition. I mean, is it too late? You say, oh, well, sorry, you know, you should have eaten better and controlled your stress better. Is that what you tell them?
Absolutely not. We have, in fact, we had a patient recently who got psoriasis, which is an autoimmune condition that we know is connected with streptococcus, you know, strep throat, for example. People will be familiar with that. And we went through a process where we helped them improve their stress. They went through a stress crisis, developed this severe rash. It was a severe form of psoriasis, something called guttae psoriasis that was all over her body. It was really, really bad. And I was on her face. I mean, it was really bad. And we went through the process of helping her with her stress. We went through a diet transformation. We included a few supplements and so on. We dramatically increased her fiber intake. And we really worked hard on trying to calm down her immune system. And this was in a setting where she had seen a dermatologist. The dermatologist had offered the regular regimen that is offered for that. And she didn't want to do it. And she came to me and said, I don't want to do the regular regimen. I want a natural method. And I said, well, I'm not aware of any kind of routine natural regimen that works for psoriasis. I'm going to have to research it for you. Would that be okay? And even if it's kind of out of the box, are you okay with that? And she's like, yeah, I want something natural. So I read about it, looked it up, studied it. There was a dermatologist that was having some success with some natural approaches. And we went after that, and it took about 4 months, but the psoriasis is gone to this day. I mean, it's amazing.
I mean, it's gone.
It's totally gone. It's totally gone.
So you got to break this down for us. There's thousands of people with psoriasis, no doubt many of them listening to the show. What all did you do? Not that they can necessarily reproduce this on their own, but you said that there were dietary changes. I mean, specifically, what kind of things did you change in the diet?
She was eating a lot of meat, a lot of chicken and fish. She cut that out. She went to a whole plant vegetarian diet. She went from eating a lot of processed food. She was of Asian descent. She had a lot of white rice. We switched her to more whole plant kinds of options like brown rice and so on. She started doing some green leafy smoothies. We threw in some of those just to try to upregulate the amount of vitamins and minerals that she was getting. And that was sort of the core. And then we did a few supplements, and we even treated the streptococcus with some antibiotics. So that was what that dermatologist had success with. And so we went after it, and it worked like a charm. It was amazing.
So you mentioned supplements.
Yeah, one key, before I get to supplements, one key with this story, in many cases, if people do a dietary lifestyle change, and I've had this happen, if they do a dietary lifestyle change and they make that progress, but they do not correct the stress issues, many times they do not get the benefits that they would otherwise get. I don't want to get into all the details of her case necessarily, but she went through a crisis. There was a problem with their home. They had to move out and stay in a small place for a long time. They had little kids. It was very difficult. It was a very stressful experience. And when they finally moved back in, the stress levels really dropped. And it was amazing to see when the stress levels drop, you transform your lifestyle with your diet, how your immune system just jumps back into its regular mode. I mean, it's really, really awesome to see that we have some potential to help this.
Now, I know people always want to hear about the supplements, Greg. So I know that's not the whole program.
Sure.
But tell us, are there any special supplements that you felt were effective?
Yeah. So in reviewing the documentation that this physician had put out, he was really focused on secondary bile acids and bioflavonoids. And so his regimen was curcumin and quercetin. And then he was giving a secondary bile acid. There's a few on the market. The one I gave was ursodiol. And so we gave that along with, gave her some azithromycin to treat the strep. And we put her on a probiotic. And what else did we do? We had her take some sauerkraut and some of these more natural lactobacillus-rich fermented foods that are not necessarily rich in vinegar or something like that, but rich in bacteria and so on, because we know that our creator has provided a lot of bacteria in the food. The fact that we're so separated from the land and the garden, there's a connection to eating some dirt every once in a while and having a healthy gut microbiome. It's amazing. There's 100 million bacteria in an apple.
Okay, well, I don't know that we're going to start packaging dirt and making it available to American Indian and Alaska Native Living listeners, but Greg, your point about eating more things out of the garden rather than these highly processed foods is well taken. We're talking about important things that can make a difference in your life. Greg is going to be sharing, Dr. Steinke, he'll be sharing more practical pointers as this show progresses. We do have to step away briefly. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Again, my guest, Dr. Greg Steinke, will be back with more. Stay tuned.
American Indian and Alaska Native Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please contact us on the web at aianl.org or call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
A message from the National Police Association. It used to be that any able-bodied person would offer to assist a police officer in danger. Now, passersby are more likely to take a video. There's a better use for your phone when an officer's in trouble. Call 911. Tell the operator where you are and what you see. Then, start your video to provide evidence later. To learn more about how you can assist law enforcement, visit nationalpolice.org. That's nationalpolice.org.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see. Depression won't show up on an eye chart, and you can't measure it on your bathroom scale. Sorting out a mental health concern is not something to attempt on your own. You won't find a bipolar disorder by looking at a thermometer. Like many other health conditions, help for mental illness takes professional diagnosis and treatment. Anxiety won't just go away under a stick-on bandage. So the sooner you seek treatment, the better. If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. Find out what to do. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support. That's samhsa.gov/support.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaskan Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to the second half of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Dr. David DeRose with Dr. Greg Steinke. We've been speaking about things that can really reset your body. If you're just joining us, we've been speaking about autoimmune diseases, how they're on the rise, and some of the ways to counter them. Maybe something as simple conceptually as dealing with your stress better and making changes in your diet. Dr. Steinke, I know when we speak to people throughout Indian country, historically, of course, of people living very close to the land. And you might say that's even not doing justice to how intimately First Nation peoples on this continent viewed their connection with what they often referred to as Mother Earth. So this close connection, whether it's produce, whether it's wild game, but definitely no factory farming. There wasn't animal husbandry historically before European contact. There wasn't processed foods. So you're trying to help people get back to a more natural diet. And we were talking a little bit about the microbiology of the soil. And you and I, as we were speaking at the break, you didn't want people to leave with the impression that we're encouraging them to actually go out and eat soil. Help us understand what you're trying to communicate.
Yeah, if you think about, for example, let's talk about the apple for a second. So they did a study where they looked at conventionally sprayed apples versus organic apples. And what they found was both of them had 100 million bacteria in the flesh and in the seed. I mean, it's amazing. Next time you eat an apple, stare at the apple, see if you can see those bacteria. Put it under a microscope, see if you can see them. Anyways, they're there and they're cohabitating with the apple. It's a really, I think, a miraculous process. But the conventionally sprayed apples had a much narrower microbiome. They had a few more dominant species and a far fewer number, total of different kinds of species. Whereas the organic apple had a much greater variety of species and no species was dominating another. And I think that's a very important principle for the gut microbiome is you want to have a wide array of different healthy bacteria in there, and you don't want any one species dominating the other. One of the more common things that we're seeing now is something called dysbiosis. So if your diet's poor, if your stress is too high, you're not sleeping well, you're gaining weight, etc., there's a variety of reasons. Perhaps you got exposed to certain bad actors, bacteria-wise, but as you get a problem with this dysbiosis refers to a problematic gut microbiome, you start to have, in many cases, an overgrowth of certain bacteria. And that overgrowth of bacteria often is producing toxins that is causing problems. You know, I mean, I was just listening to a lecture on Staphylococcus aureus and its connection to gluten and how people who have too much Staphylococcus aureus in their gut, there's a change in the way they process gluten, which seems to be related to some of our issues with gluten in more recent times. So it's just a fascinating topic.
Yeah, this is. And so just to make sure we're all tracking together, so what we call the microbiome is this, or the gut microbiome, are these germs, this balance of germs that live in everybody's intestine. We say balance, but like you're pointing out, some people may have a more balanced microbiome than others, but everybody has germs that live in the intestinal tract. So, Greg, talk with us a little bit more about specific conditions. You were talking about metabolism. I heard that in your comment. Talk to someone who may be struggling with their weight. Is there anything that we know about these gut bacteria and weight that you think is promising that we should let people know if they're struggling to try to lose some pounds?
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that happens when you're on a processed food diet, you're eating a lot of packaged food, you're eating too much fat, not enough fiber, is many people start to lose a bacteria. There's one bacteria called Akkermansia. This is one that's not familiar yet, but I think it's going to become very, very familiar to a lot of people. And there's just an enormous amount of effort being done with Akkermansia. They're starting to give supplements for it, et cetera. And what they found is that there's a connection with Akkermansia and your ability to lose weight. And Akkermansia will not grow in your gut unless you're on a high-fiber diet that's rich in fruits and vegetables, that's rich in beans, legumes. And so as you raise your Akkermansia levels, as you adopt that healthy diet, it becomes easier and easier to go ahead and lose weight, because Akkermansia interacts with a receptor called GLP-1, a receptor, and that's all kind of doctor talk, but there's a lot of popular medicines out now that are interacting with that receptor and that are designed for weight loss, that are also given for diabetes. And so, sure enough, you transform your diet and you get Akkermansia growing back in your gut, and you do that process that limits the GLP-1 levels and helps you lose weight.
So you mentioned GLP-1. A lot of people might think of Ozempic or Wegovy or some of these medications, and those drugs that have become very popular, as you mentioned, for weight loss as well as for diabetic control. So apparently stimulating GLP-1, and that's what you're saying, this bacteria also stimulates this particular receptor that then has these beneficial digestive and weight loss effects?
It acts very much like those drugs and has an inhibiting effect on your appetite, and which is basically how those medicines like Ozempic help you lose weight.
So how do you spell this bacteria? Is that a tough one to spell for someone who's hearing about it for the first time and saying, hey, I want to search this, and I heard Dr. Steinke mention it several times. Can we put you on the spot and have you give us an actual spelling for that?
Sure. A-K-K, two Ks, A-K-K-E-R-M-A-N-C-I-A.
Okay, so Akkermansia, A-K-K-E-R-M-A-N-C-I-A. Have I got that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
If you'd like to read more about it in a synopsis version, we, not too long ago, wrote an article in our on our website, in our blog, about Akkermansia. And you can go to lifemedclinic.org and just click on blog, and then just scroll down to look for the Akkermansia article, and we'd be happy to share that with anybody free of charge.
Okay, we want to definitely head over there. At least I want to get that article. So lifemedclinic.org, that's a way to connect with you, with your team. It's also a way to get this free article or synopsis or overview on Akkermansia and how it might help people to trim down, maybe curb their appetite, maybe even improve their blood sugar. Am I overstating it?
Absolutely not. I mean, it all goes together. I mean, that's the way our bodies are made, is they're totally interdependent one on each other. And so it's always, in my view, better if you can do it. I mean, you know, there are times when you can't, but it's always better to engage the natural process, to set forward hundreds of different mechanisms in your body to begin the process of improving whatever those various goals are. You may have one specific goal. You may want to lose weight, but as you're losing weight and you're engaging in that, all those healthy foods, changing the chemicals that are going into your brain, improving your mood. They're lowering your blood pressure. They're improving your cholesterol. I mean, it's a multifactorial thing. It doesn't, you know, when you engage in the natural processes, many times it's going to hit multiple different things, not just lose a few pounds.
That's tremendous. Dr. Steinke, I know there's so many other conditions that are relatively common that you as a family practice specialist see in your clinic, things that you've helped people with. But as we're speaking to a broad national, even international audience, what other things do you think would be especially important for people to have on their radar screens as they think about preventive medicine, about lifestyle medicine, things they can do differently that could really change their medical history?
Yeah, I think that we need to increasingly realize that a lot of times we feel powerless in our efforts. We struggle with giving up certain things. We struggle with trying to walk away from stuff. And some people feel like they're strong at it. But in my experience, people keep going back to the same old things over and over. And I think having a more balanced approach where you're not just focused on a strict physical model, but you're realizing that we as people, we're emotional beings, we're spiritual beings. And things like prayer and things like engaging in spiritual resources can be very helpful to deal with something that may be holding you back. We wrote a book on high blood pressure. You know, we had a section in there on anger and how when people struggle with anger issues, they may not be able to get their blood pressure down until that is addressed. And so taking that broader approach, I remember talking to a patient about, I started into talking about some of these spiritual things, and the patient said to me, "Doc, I'm not here to talk about that kind of stuff. I only want you to help my blood pressure." And I just sort of thought to myself, he doesn't get it. You know, he doesn't understand. And so, you know, to be able to have that broader view, not just kind of a dualistic mindset that is so often present in America, where the spiritual is way over there and the physical is way over there and never the twain shall meet. No, no, no. We are one. We are one being. Our frontal lobe of our brain, where the spiritual kinds of activities occur, that deeply affects the rest of your body. And so you cannot neglect one and think you're going to help the other in any great way.
Of course, Native Americans resonate with what you're sharing, you know, seeing a very holistic approach to all of life, community, nature, spiritual, physical. And so you're, you know, as they say, speaking to the choir here, but at the same time, I appreciate this point you're making because it is what we often see. And it seems like it's not the doctor's realm to maybe look at the social elements or the spiritual elements. And what I hear you making a plea for, Dr. Steinke, is as healers, we need to see that broader role. And then the frustration, like we started the show, as many providers would say, well, I don't have time to do that. And what I hear you saying is, well, maybe you should explore this, do you call it direct primary care? Is that the proper term?
Yeah, direct primary care. And there's about, you know, I haven't checked lately, but last time I checked, maybe a year ago, they estimated over 5,000 clinics around America now. So there are increasing numbers of clinicians and healthcare providers moving into this realm as they see the benefits.
So, Greg, you also have taken it on yourself to help other clinics, other providers, if they're looking for a similar model. If someone is really intrigued, maybe they're a nurse practitioner, a physician's assistant, medical doctor, maybe they're a nurse who works in a clinic, but they're saying, you know, we need to kind of move in this direction. Can someone easily tap into some of the wisdom that you've gained there in the Chattanooga area?
Absolutely. We have interacted with a number of different clinicians who have inquired. We've even had clinicians come and hang out with us for half a day. So we don't have any qualms about that. We're small clinics still. We certainly have limited resources, but we'd be happy to share whatever knowledge we have. We're not here to keep this to ourselves. We want people to benefit from what we've learned. And, you know, we want people to take it and run with it and bless others.
Now, Dr. Steinke, I know you've given some contact information already. We've got the website down, lifemedclinic.org. But earlier in the show, you also gave us a phone number. Do you mind giving us that one more time?
Sure. 423-250-5094.
Okay, so area code 423 puts you in the Chattanooga area. 250-5094, correct?
That's right.
We've got to step away just briefly. We've got a final segment coming up. Dr. Steinke is going to be talking about something that you don't want to miss, some very practical pointers. We'll be right back after this.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm just texting him back.
I'm just posting a story.
I'm just changing the song.
I'm just...
No. When it comes to distracted driving, just don't. Sending a text takes your eyes off the road for just 5 seconds, but in that time, your car can travel the length of an entire football field. Any distracted driving just isn't worth it.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
What is a number story?
My number story started with fear and a lack of support, and it has led me to be there for others.
A number story begins in our childhood with ACEs, adverse childhood experiences.
My number story begins with the separation from my father and the emotional abandonment from my mother, and leads to me being a role model to not only myself, but those around me by becoming the person that wasn't there for me.
ACEs are so common, 2/3 of us have one.
My number story begins with drug abuse and homelessness, and leads to realizing that I can live life by my own standards.
A study found the more ACEs, the more likely we may experience a host of serious health effects, physical and mental, but that doesn't need to be the case. Your ACE number is simply an entry point to your own story. Where it leads is up to you.
My number story begins with years of emotional abuse, and leads to peace, clarity, and security in my self-worth.
Take control of where your number story leads at numberstory.org.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaskan Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to our final segment of today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose, your host, with Dr. Greg Steinke, Medical Director of Life Med Clinic in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Dr. Steinke, we promised our listeners some material that they wouldn't want to miss. We want to lead in this final segment about a condition that's gotten a lot of attention throughout Indian country. It's been exciting for me as I've met with Native practitioners throughout these First Nation communities about the progress that's being made addressing diabetes. But there's some really good news about diabetes being a disease that can become a thing of the past, at least for many individuals. Tell us a little bit about the science behind that.
Yeah, it's been really interesting to study that. And one of the, I think, really important points is the sooner you're diagnosed with diabetes and the sooner you can change your lifestyle, the easier it is. The more years you wait, the more decades you wait to work on your health, to work on your lifestyle, lose the weight you need to lose, et cetera, the harder it is to improve the diabetes and to go ahead and initiate remission. We know that early on, if you have been a diabetic for less than 5 years, you know, maybe less than 10 years, many, many of those patients, the majority of those patients can go into remission if they change their lifestyle, they normalize their weight, and make dramatic improvements. It's fascinating, David, the way our bodies work. They've established that as little as one meal, overeating, one meal engaging in an excessive calorie intake, immediately creates what we call insulin resistance. the body reacts. That's the physiologic response to overeating, is it reacts with insulin resistance. And what is insulin resistance is the body will not respond to the insulin push after the meal. So the insulin goes into the bloodstream and tries to stimulate all the cells of your body, or many of the cells of your body, to take up blood sugar. And the cells are like, nope, not going to do it right now. We're resisting. And so that's insulin resistance. And so it's amazing to think that struggling meal by meal with eating too much creates the precursors for diabetes.
Wow. So basically, a lot of people think of just a dietary indiscretion here or there is not going to make much difference. But these small little things add up. And you work with patients, many of whom have diabetes, if I'm understanding that correct, and you're seeing some exciting things. Tell us a little bit about your experience.
Yeah, we'll put patients on, it depends how the patient wants to do it. You know, we'll certainly talk with them and engage them, but many patients want to have fairly rapid improvements. And if the patient many, many times, the majority of times, not always, but the majority of times, weight gain is very much involved with their development of diabetes. And so the studies tend to show that on the average, this is the average. Some people need to do less, some people need to do more. But if the average person loses 30 pounds, the majority of those patients go into diabetes remission. And diabetes remission is where your fasting blood sugar is 126 or less, or there's another test called a hemoglobin A1C, which many people are familiar with. Less than 6.5. So that's diabetes remission and on no medicine. So you have to be on no medication and have your average blood sugar with the A1C less than 6.5, or your fasting blood sugar is less than 125. And so if you're there, you're not officially actively a diabetic. You are a person with diabetes. You are in remission. And that is, I think, should be the goal. You know, for so many years, the goal has just been, well, stay on medicine. This is what you're going to have the rest of your life. And we just haven't, I think, realized that it takes a pretty significant, dramatic effort for many people. They have to work a lot harder than they think to get it better. But if they do, and they realize that that's the job they need to get done, and they make that effort and they get that job done, many of those cases can have diabetes remission and have a much better experience, much lower risks of the complications of diabetes, which are devastating.
Now, a lot of people who are in my shoes, Dr. Steinke, other professionals, they'll say, well, Dr. Steinke, you're seeing what we call a self-selected audience. These are people that are choosing to come see you because they want to work on their lifestyle. And a lot of folks would probably say, hey, I don't want to change the way I'm eating. Why not just take a few pills or a shot and get my diabetes under control? Is there an advantage to, when we look long-term, to someone who puts the diabetes into remission, as you said it, with lifestyle, they're not on any medications, and the person who says they're taking maybe several diabetes medications and they have just as good a numbers, maybe even better numbers than the person who's done it with lifestyle? Do we have those answers yet at this point?
No doubt that keeping your blood sugars down with medication is helpful. There's no doubt about that. But again, as we talked about in the last segment, when you lose weight and you improve your diet, you improve your lifestyle, you have multiple different benefits that you don't get with just medication. You will get increased vitamin mineral intake. You will change your gut microbiome. And that will begin to create protection that's more than just what low blood sugars can do. When you think about the number one complication with diabetes, it has to do with cardiovascular disease. And cardiovascular disease is caused by a number of things. It's not just high blood sugar. Certainly high blood sugars are a major cause, but high cholesterol, high blood pressure, smoking, there's all these different pieces, and a low antioxidant intake in the diet we know contributes to heart disease. So there's all these pieces. And so when you create a situation where you jump into a whole plant-based diet and you make an effort, especially early on when you really need to lose that weight, to reduce your calorie intake and do that really hard work to lose that weight, increase your exercise program, you get so many more benefits. You get benefits to your eyes, which, you know, the number one cause of blindness in middle-aged people is diabetes. You get the benefits to your nerves. You get all these extra vitamins to your nerves that will help keep your nerves rolling. So there's a lot of other benefits that you're going to have with a lifestyle change, depending on how you do it, rather than some kind of medicine alone.
Greg, you and I have both mentioned in the course of this show the book that you and I co-authored along with Trudy Lee, a nurse practitioner, a book called 30 Days to Natural Blood Pressure Control. And there's still people reaching out to me. I just had someone reach out to me about that book a few weeks ago on the program, getting great results. The biggest questions I sometimes hear about the book, if someone's read it or if they haven't, they're wanting to know about supplements. What supplements can I do? And we made the point in the book that no supplements are as powerful as this comprehensive lifestyle approach that you've been talking about. But for someone who is maybe already doing a lot of the things that you've been mentioning, or maybe they're a patient of yours in your clinic, they've gone through maybe your classes, your individual education, their blood pressure is still running high. Are there still some supplements that you might recommend for someone with high blood pressure?
Yeah, absolutely. We have used a number of different ones. Coenzyme Q10 seems to work fairly well in certain patients, depends on the patient. We've also had some, you know, it's not, the research is not quite as good, but I've noticed that it's effective clinically, and that is a grapeseed extract, and often supplements come with grapeseed extract and olive leaf extract together, and those seem to have a blood pressure lowering effect in some people. But again, like you said, if you just take a supplement and you are engaging in a lot of blood pressure raising activities, it's going to be a lot more difficult for you to improve your blood pressure without the comprehensive approach. You know, that's so much more important. And there's some people who engage a really healthy lifestyle and still struggle with their blood pressure. And that's when we pull out various kinds of supplements to try to make a difference. You know, certainly omega-3 has a mild blood pressure lowering effect and so on. There's a number of options there that we can engage in. So you want to consider supplements when necessary, but let's take a close look at the lifestyle and make sure there's nothing else that we can do there, because so many times that is the most powerful thing.
Now, Greg, we've got about a minute left. This is probably not the question to ask with a minute, but I want you to try to give us a short answer, because this topic keeps coming up in many circles, caffeine and its impact on lifestyle diseases. Where do you stand with it? And even some people touting things like green tea, where do you put that in the equation of lifestyle strategies?
I'm not in favor of caffeine. It's a blood pressure raising chemical, and we just have a universal issue almost with high blood pressure in America. Maybe that's an overstatement, but a lot of people have it. And so that's my biggest concern, is the high blood pressure effects. Obviously, some people are very sensitive when it comes to the sleep issues. Anxiety, you know, they're saying 50% of Americans are now anxious. Caffeine doesn't help that. You know, caffeine is related to the chemical adrenaline. And so I'm not in favor of caffeine. You know, green tea has health benefits. I certainly am supportive of green tea, but, you know, just get decaffeinated green tea. There's low caffeine green teas out there. And, you know, I think that's fine. I haven't seen anything that made me concerned about taking decaffeinated green tea.
Well, Dr. Steinke, as always, you've been a great guest. Thank you for sharing your experiences, your wisdom. One more time, your website for the LifeMed Clinic, if someone wants to reach out and take advantage of some of your free resources or contact you.
LifeMedClinic.org. Yeah, that's the website. And again, our phone number is 423-250-5094.
Well, Dr. Steinke, thank you so very much. And thank you to each one of you who've joined us today for today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. As always, I'm Dr. David DeRose, wishing you the very best of health.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.